Hey guys, hope you're having a great day. Before we start today's show, just want to remind you that we have episode 300 coming out in a week and a half. Bunch of free things will be given out on that episode, including the chance to win some consulting and coaching with me and a free course for every single one of you that listens to that episode. It's not the free course that I already have been giving away. This is a different course. So get excited for that. And yeah, it's just going to be an awesome episode. So be sure you're subscribed. And if you enjoy today's content, I hope you leave a review. Let's get started. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Social Media Entrepreneurs Podcast, teaching you how to become a full-time entrepreneur by leveraging modern-day social media strategies. I'm your host, Derek Vidal, and on today's episode, we are talking about, is entrepreneurship something that is in your DNA, or can anyone be an entrepreneur? It just takes enough motivation, enough why behind it. We're going to be fully breaking it down, and we're also going to be talking about a personality test. Now, personality tests are not something that I typically recommend because you don't want to take a personality test that says you're one way when you know you're trying to be the other, right? You can always do things with your character and build upon your skill sets and work on yourself and become less of characteristics that don't benefit you and more of the ones that do. So I don't like to take personality tests for that reason, or at least look into them too much, because I don't like to do anything that makes me feel powerless to changing my own life and taking control of my own life. However, it is good to know just who you are inside and at your core value. So the test that I'm going to recommend is called the Core Value Index Test. It's the CVI test. And basically, it breaks you down into one of four quadrants. And we'll be talking about that in a second of what they mean and why I think it matters to knowing if entrepreneurship is, you know, quote unquote, in your DNA or not. So before we get into the CVI test, let's just talk about my initial thoughts on, is entrepreneurship something that has to be in your DNA or it's just not going to work for you? If you look at entrepreneurs like Gary Vaynerchuk or Alex Hormozi, those guys have something in their DNA that makes them not just want to be an entrepreneur, but they also need to be an entrepreneur, and they need to be as successful as they possibly can. They are running, you know, around the clock, doing constant work, are extremely productive, don't really have a lot of hobbies outside of entrepreneurship, and they just live and breathe entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is the hobby, it is the fun. And they do have similar backgrounds. I believe they both have immigrant parents. I know Gary Vaynerchuk does, and they come from a more impoverished situation. And certain life factors like that do play into, you know, your DNA. Well, so for that reason, they don't really play into your DNA. It's just your life factors, right? Like things that have happened in your life that lead you to be super motivated to get rich because you'll never let yourself be broke again. Those kind of things happen from life scenarios. So I think it's good to note whenever you see entrepreneurs like that are on another level, yeah, they got something in them that it, you know, makes them tick differently, that's for sure. Because even young Gary Vaynerchuk, I mean, like in his 20s, he didn't party at all. Alex Hormozi didn't really party that much. I mean, he was the president of a frat, so I'm sure he did that, but he wasn't like motivated by like the party itself. He was more motivated to still like be the best possible version of himself by being the president of the frat and running things and moving up the ladder. And, you know, he was trying to beef up his resume at that time before he knew he wanted to be an entrepreneur. There are certain things in an entrepreneur's DNA that make them want to achieve like crazy levels of success. Myself would be someone who I would say I do have entrepreneurship in my DNA, but I would say that it's almost more tied to me being ADHD. And this is, I think, one of the most common diagnoses that you're going to see in entrepreneurs is that they have ADHD. And this has been something that I've gone back and forth on over my life. Like, is it totally real, or have I given myself ADHD from social media and just being on my phone all the time? Do I really have ADHD, or do I just want to escape my own mind? And, you know, the way to do that is just by being distracted. And I've found that ADHD is certainly real. And the short explanation is that it means that you have low dopamine neurotransmitters. You get bored a lot easier. And there are like hyper successful entrepreneurs like Andrew Tate, not going into the controversial stuff right now, but it's something that he says where he says like, I was just bored all the time. I just suffer from severe boredom. And that's kind of like ADHD. And unless you're doing what you really, really want to do, you are just completely bored, completely distracted. So I think that can lead to people being an entrepreneur, but it's not that they are so driven by, the need to open a business and they just love the numbers and the marketing. It's not necessarily that. It's that they would hate the other option so much. All right, most entrepreneurs, of any level, the common trait that they're going to have is more of an extreme distaste for working a traditional career, being told what to do, being told when to show up. Part of it is just the control aspect, and they don't really respond well to authority. Part of it is also a superiority complex, where a lot of times entrepreneurs believe that they know better than everyone else so much that if it wasn't that way, they just couldn't even deal with it. And this is me in a way, because like if I went to a company and they didn't let me have complete control of every marketing decision on day one, I'm never going to work for any other company other than the one that I have complete marketing control of, because look, I'm showing you right now that it's like in me, right? I'm like, no one is going to make better decisions than me in this field. And even if so, whatever, I'd rather still make my own decisions and just live with those mistakes and adjust. I need to have control over the marketing of wherever I work and all the decisions. I'm like the CEO, or I don't want any part of it. It's not even the fact that I love making YouTube videos, that I love making podcasts. It's that if I don't have complete control over every aspect of where I work, or at least that the head honcho, like the final decision maker, then there's no such thing as success for me. All right. Like I would rather make 100K working for myself, or even 50K working for myself, than be the CEO of Apple, unless I founded the company and I have the final decision on, as much as possible, if not everything, then it just doesn't even look like success to me. So for a lot of this, it will come down to like what your definition of success is. Because if you're like, no, if I got promoted multiple times at my company, I'm making like 120K a year, I get this many vacation days, I have a family, this and that, that's the epitome of success for you, then great. Like that is really what, success is for you. Like whatever that dream vision is for you, it's going to be hard for you to be motivated long term around anything else. Okay, so a lot of people look at entrepreneurship and love some aspect of it, is why you might be on this video, because you're like, yeah, but I do like my traditional career. I do like having the safe salary. I don't really like working on commission. I just want to know what I'm going to make. However, it would be cool to be your own boss. Like you won't be an entrepreneur because that isn't enough. It's very hard to go through the months, if not years, of not making money and still convincing yourself that you are right and that you will eventually find a working solution and that you're going to make it happen. That you don't get enough drive to make that happen from just, it would be cool to be my own boss. I don't mind working for someone else, but it would be cool to be my own boss. If that's your situation, it's going to be very difficult. The only time I see those people end up being entrepreneurs is if they find success a little bit quicker. And then they're obviously like, all right, this is awesome. I found success right away. I'm my own boss. Exactly what I wanted. Just doesn't happen that much. And it's not really something that I would recommend you do. If you're like, look, I love my job, but it would be cool to have my own company, then maybe you look into like the side hustle aspect of it. And of course, if you make a company that makes $4,000 of extra income for you a year, do not discount how amazing that is. Most people never even start any kind of side income at all. And if you're just making a couple thousand, couple hundred, you just work one show a year and you work some farmer's market that you spend $100 on to sell $700 of your clothing and you have a good time with it, awesome, right? Life really should be just a matter of what you see it as like what you're trying to achieve and playing this compare game of, yeah, but look at these seven-figure entrepreneurs and I just have this four-figure a year business, five-figure a year business. If you play that compare game, then that's why you're going to always feel like you're off. But I mean, if you make a few thousand dollars a year from some little side hustle that you started, that is incredible. And even that is an opportunity. So there's a lot of levels to this entrepreneurship, right? And how I classify myself, to go on that more, because of my ADHD and my unwillingness to respond to authority figures very well, right? Like, I'm just not a good employee, okay? You don't want to be my manager. You're just going to give me bad remarks. Like, it just doesn't work well. There's just enough parts of my personality that if I'm ever struggling in entrepreneurship and I say, okay, all right, this is difficult. I know I could get a sales job, you know, that pays six figures. Like, so what I have to do? I got to get my resume together. Okay, absolutely not doing that, right? Like, so that, like, the fact that the traditional career, I can't entertain the idea more than like 10 seconds without just saying it doesn't even exist. It's not even a possible option. Makes it that I am at least an entrepreneur, like, by necessity. All right. And that is kind of where the DNA comes in, is that you're an entrepreneur by necessity. And there is another level where that we'll talk about next. But my level, the one that's not the Gary Vaynerchuk, Alex Hormozi, where they need to be, but they also need to, like, buy the Jets, like Gary Vaynerchuk, right? Like, thinking that big. My level is more like, if I make like six figures a year, even high fives, and then have the potential to move up from there. More so, I just want the control, and I just want everything to fall on me. And for that reason, you know, that's why entrepreneurship might seem, I think I might give people the impression like, damn, this guy just never quits. And that really has been my life story for a lot of things that I've done. Like, I really haven't been that uber talented at sales, but I just like never quit. YouTube, I mean, it took me 2.5 years to get 1,000 subscribers. Now we're at 2K a few months later. So, hey, we're getting somewhere. I'm getting better. I'm trying to get these videos better. I'm gonna have a new studio next week. All I can do is get better, right? But however long it takes, you know, I don't really care. So there's that level of entrepreneur just that doesn't even consider quitting entrepreneur. And then the last level would be those of you where maybe you don't hate your traditional job, but you love so many things about entrepreneurship, or maybe you're an artist. Like, you would really love to be able to paint more than for just a hobby. You don't really love sales. You don't really love the idea of like learning how to make a website and post all this Instagram content, but if you could get paid to paint, you would absolutely love it. That would be this last level where you have a choice to make. And I would say that in this test, like, entrepreneurship isn't really in your DNA. You have the desire to get paid to do what you love. And that's where a lot of this starts from, right? And if what you love is like just painting, but you like hate selling painting and making phone calls and negotiating with customers on their custom paint job to get yourself a good price, and you know, working markets where you put all of your art out, maybe getting potential criticism online, right? If you're not able to really do those parts, if that is where it's no longer worth it to you, then there's your answer. That's where it's no longer worth it to you. And whenever you start a business, you have to go into it under this rule. If you're an artist, your main job is selling art. Your second job is painting. Unless you get to a point where you're so established that you can hire a marketing agency to do all that. And listen back to a few episodes if you want to know if it's a good idea to hire a marketing agency. For most businesses that don't already have a proven track record of success, it's very rarely the thing that you want to do. But if you really would love to be an artist and you say, you know what, I can deal with it. I know that I have to learn how to sell art. There's crappy parts to any job out there, whether I'm working at this traditional job that I can't get a pay raise no matter how many times I ask, or I really don't like my coworkers. If the pain of you having to learn sales and post Instagram content is less than the pain of you continuing to deal with whatever aspect of your job that you don't want to anymore, is where you are able to still make it happen, even though I wouldn't say you are like quote unquote, like you have entrepreneur DNA just running through your veins. Some other ways that you could test is, did you start little businesses when you were a kid? When you hung out with your friends, did you want to just play with no care in the world and not worry about capitalism yet? Or were you kind of like already intrigued by it? Were you like, I would rather wash cars. I'd rather knock on all my neighbors' doors and ask if they need a car wash and charge them for it, or ask if they need their lawn mowed or whatever, like lemonade stands, right? I was doing like the lawn mowing and the car washing like all the time. I was always trying to make money as a kid, and just like it was just a game to me, right? So if you also see capitalism as a fun game, that would be another entrepreneurial trait. Otherwise, you're just not going to want to participate in capitalism this directly, is what I see people do, right? They might say things like, I don't want to be salesy. Whereas like at the same time, let's say that person is like a waiter or waitress, and they're taking orders, right? They're going to the tables, they're taking the orders. Because the customer is not paying them directly, they don't feel like they're participating in capitalism as directly, but they really are, because that those people are paying the restaurant is paying them. Like, no matter what you do in life, you are always going to be taking part in capitalism. But there is something that when a business is like, yeah, but now I set the price, and I know like what I paid for it, and like I know how much profit I'm making, and they might not want to buy right then, and then I have to handle their objection and try to get them to buy. Like, there's something about that that just rubs you wrong, and it really should not at all. It does not make sense. But if that rubs you wrong, you aren't going to love marketing. And if you don't love marketing, then I mean, that's just such a huge aspect of being an entrepreneur. No matter what you do, online business, brick and mortar, you're going to need more customers. And if you don't really love that part, that is such a big part of the job that you probably won't love being an entrepreneur. All right. So that's just what I have to say about like some random stories and like kind of different levels. I'm basically putting like three categories of entrepreneurs. We have the hyper successful, couldn't think of being anything else, and also needs to be the absolute best entrepreneur. Then they have the middle level, where there's a lot of people like me, where hey, if I make like 300K in a year, I'm pretty content. Like, I'm not like, oh man, I gotta like buy the Broncos because I live in Denver. I'm just like, sweet, right? So like, I have a level that I'm content. And of course, I just want to be better than myself the year before. And I want to have the opportunity to do so. I love that when I go to bed, going to bed on time, getting a good amount of sleep impacts my income. I love that the amount of books that I read impacts my income. I love that how well I show up and perform on these videos and get better directly impacts my income. I love that everything matters in life, and it's just a game of leveling up. One extra thing I'll add is, if you have been a fan of level up video games, if you like playing Pokemon, if you've liked playing any kind of like Final Fantasy game where you just level up the characters and level them up and level them up, give them all these skills, Sims, right? If you love games like that, that's also telling that you'll like the game of entrepreneurship, because it makes everything in your life matter all of a sudden. Everything directly impacts your income. And if you like that idea, then you'll probably love being an entrepreneur. And then that third level of entrepreneur is, you don't need to be one, right? Your DNA has not pigeonholed you into it being the only career possible, but damn would you love to be. And if you can deal with, if the pain of being an entrepreneurship is less than the pain of whatever else you're looking at doing, then you will find a way to make it. But it's very hard for it to just be, oh yeah, it would be cool to be my own boss. It would be cool to make a little extra money. If it just would be cool to get some of the benefits of entrepreneurship, the risk or the trade-off of what you'll go through in the end probably won't be worth it. However, I will say that if you're like, I'm pretty sure that's me, I just need to know conclusively, like, I just really got to test it out. Start a business right now. Start it today. Get as much work in as you possibly can, and just cram 3 months worth of work into like the next month, and just do so much so that you know. Right? Just do so much that you now know, run into the problems that you're going to run into, and see if you are excited to tackle those problems or not. But I wouldn't just rule yourself out and say, hey, Derek, put me in that third category. Maybe I'm not really cut out to be it. I don't want you on your deathbed thinking like, man, I wish I would have tried though. So please know that even for this third category, even if there was a fourth category where you love your traditional job, but you would love to be an entrepreneur too, like just go try it. Go out there and start that business anyways. Get some posts out and just act like you're starting this business to last for 10 years and just do the first couple months of it and then make a decision is absolutely what you should do. Or go into sales. And for a lot of you, you're like, oh, I've never go into sales, right? And that's very telling because like I told you, your main job is going to be selling whatever item you get into. So of course, you might be a little bit more motivated to sell your own art than you would to sell like life insurance or whatever. So you got to go pick some kind of product that you want to sell. For those of you who don't know, I sold Cutco products, knives and kitchen cutlery and you know, other items for over 7 years. And that's where I really got my start of sales and marketing and entrepreneurship because you are an independent contractor for that company. And yeah, that really showed me, like I did that when I was in college and then going into my senior year, I was like, I already know I don't need my degree. I didn't know though until I went into sales. And I said, oh, I'm never going to do anything apart from sales. And I didn't even need this degree. So, you know, whether I'm selling other people's stuff or I'm selling my own stuff it is really all that they're the only decision to be made from here. But hey, I didn't know that until I had tried. Okay. Even when I started that sales job, like a year in, I was still like, oh yeah, I'm quitting as soon as I graduate from college. And then I had been with that company for 2 years by the time I graduated. And then I was like, okay, now that I'm an even better salesman and I can really see how much money there is to be made, now I now more know that I don't need this degree. But I remember even being a year into that job and still being like, no, I'm totally just going to get a traditional career once I graduate. So it can take some time too, but before you really, really know. So don't be afraid to just try things. Okay. Don't make if you're unsure, just go start it. Just go try. All right. So let's talk about the CVI test. So core value index, and it groups you into four different categories. Those categories are banker, merchant, builder, and innovator. Okay. So the merchant one, this is for people who have a core value index of love. You love being around people. You love making friendships. And then innovator would be, you love being innovative, right? You could probably guess you love being creative. You love thinking, you love sitting around and just thinking about, what the future is going to hold. So naturally some, procrastination that can happen with this innovator phase. The third one being builder, those of you who value power as your core value index. And this is just for people who really like to just get stuff done. You got a to-do list, let's just knock it out. I don't want to think about it, let's just do it. And then the fourth one being banker, those who value the core value of knowledge. And that would be you love looking at analytics and looking at stats and comparing, just your numbers over time to figure out how you would like to problem solve. And I'm going to tell you right now that if you are curious about taking the test, it is free. I got it linked below. I would pause right now and take the test before I tell you a little bit more of like what an entrepreneur needs to be. I don't want your test results to be skewed because you kind of know like what results you're trying to get from this test, right? So last chance, pause this video. It takes less than 10 minutes, I think more like 5 to complete this test, just a series of questions, and it will tell you your breakdown between these four core values. Everyone's just a different ratio of each one, but if you pause the video now and go to that, then now is your chance. All right, so what?
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
do you ultimately want to be a good entrepreneur? What I found is my test results, as well as two other people that I know that have this result. One of them has been one of my most successful students of all time, of people that I've coached in my Done With You paid ads program and just building your business with you program. For the last 4 years that I've been running this, I'll probably say number one student, and she's going to be on the podcast soon, has this same test results as me. And then the other person is the number one Cutco rep of all time. So like the most successful salesman in Cutco history, we all had the same test. And that is basically equal parts in all four categories. And that is why you really need to at least be able to tap into all four of these to be a solopreneur. If you are lacking in any of these fields, that is where you're going to really need to hire some good talent around you, and it can absolutely be done. If you're a brilliant innovator and you just have incredible ideas, let's say that you're Elon Musk, but you just have the ideas for the electric cars. You don't have the builder aspect to just get to work and let's start building this company and let's work tireless hours. You don't have the merchant component of working with people. He works with people all day, right? So like you're gonna have to deal with it no matter what. If you hate it, then it's just gonna be that much harder to work longer hours. And then you also have to have the banker aspect, the knowledge. You have to have all the knowledge on electric cars and gas cars and where the stations are going to go. And you have to love looking at all this data. So if Elon only had the innovator component, the electric cars, he wouldn't be able to do anything, right? Unless he was literally just so good at making ideas that he could then hire all these other jobs out and be successful. But it wouldn't really work because he needed to build himself as an entrepreneur first. And that kind of goes with the agency episode I talked about. It's very hard for an agency hire to work until you already have your company working. It's very hard to get your company working unless you have all four aspects of this core value index or can tap into them. Now, for me, my merchant is the highest. My innovator is the second highest. I believe my banker is the third, and my builder is the fourth. And this year, I kind of realized that the difference maker for me this year is to put the builder on top. Like it's throwing me off. I know what I have to do in my business. I don't need to innovate nearly as much as I had to in the early stages, right? Like I have a working offer now. The pricing's good. My sales call is very refined. I know exactly how to do it. I know exactly how to set the calls. I know a bunch of ways to not do it. And I know a bunch of ways that work. And if I really wanted to make the most amount of money this year, it would be just do as much of what you already know works as possible. Just keep going. Just keep doing so much work. Just put in some to-do lists, show up and do it, right? The banker, it's been very valuable for me to look at my stats, and it's valuable to look at like what's my click-through ratio on the thumbnails, but you can go overboard on this very easily, as a lot of you know, that you just keep refreshing your Instagram to see if you got a couple more likes, a couple more follows, and it feels productive. We know it's not, and I'm so guilty of this, of just ending back up on YouTube to see if my subscriber count moved or the views moved, and it's just there's a level that you can certainly be too much of most of these areas. And then merchant, right? If you're just super extroverted, sometimes I might just want to take a break and just like go have social hour. Totally fine. But of course, just in doses. And I have to have a love for people in order for coaching to really work. To be an actual great coach, if you really have a low merchant, which I will say is a lot of coaches from this 2018 to 2020 era that can't sell anything anymore. They really did not act with enough merchant in what they did. I'll just say one of these entrepreneurs, Kevin David, is kind of, you know, known for this more than a lot of these other guys, because he got like sued for a lot of money and he can't really sell anything. CoffeeZilla was like a YouTuber who made a whole series on him that talked about why he was kind of a scammer. I don't think he was nearly as much of a scammer as he was made out to be. I'll say that. And I have met him in person. He's a very nice guy. But ultimately, he didn't really seem to care about, like, are all the students getting great results? And he got a lot of flack for just straight up copying people. Dan Locke, another Dan, had the same thing where he just, like, just straight up stole material from people and then sold it at a very high price because he was just a really good marketer. If you don't have the merchant component, that usually leads to not, you don't have long-term success because you're not actually building it with the customer put forward. So I hope just from those examples, you can see like, man, you need all four. Like you can't be a solopreneur without all four. You can be an entrepreneur who hires out other people to help you if you have the other ones. But to get to that point is very, very, very difficult without first being a successful solopreneur. You really do have to have all the components. You could look at like Steve Jobs, right? He had like really low merchant and he suffered in a lot of areas because of that, but he probably had ridiculously high, obviously, innovator, builder, banker, all through the roof, right? So he was just so hyperactive in those areas that allows him to be a tech guy pretty successfully, right? But you need to know about all four of these core value indexes. You want to get an assessment of where you are right now. And this would just be a way that if you're like, I just want to figure out if I have entrepreneurship in my DNA, at least, skill, it's not even skill set. It's just like your value of where you're willing to put your heart and your passion. And if it's divided in all these categories to a level that it's not just totally abnormal in any direction, then you've got a very good chance to have fun with entrepreneurship, to love the numbers, to love doing the work and knocking off your to-do list, to love the people you meet and the customers that you serve, and to love the innovation side of it, right? If you don't love, like, man, I got to find a way to do this better than all my competitors. If you don't love just getting excited by the idea of how can I take a working concept, improve on it, and then that's my company. Like it's the basis of most companies is like this pure innovation. But I will say that if you had all three categories, but if you didn't have the innovator, you could be a very successful franchisee, right? So that would just be an example where it's like, well, cool, I don't have to have the innovator side of being an entrepreneur. But this level, if I just open up a franchise, builder, banker, and merchant, all very necessary, and I'm just low innovator. So let me not choose a business where I have to be innovative. This would also be for sales, right? You really don't need high innovator to go into a sales company that's established. In fact, it actually really screwed over a lot of people in my company more than it helped. Me being very innovative for the first few years of that company, when you try to innovate material that has been around since like that company's been around since 1949. So like me coming in like second year, trying to like innovate the scripts, very rarely works out, as you can imagine. But hey, I just got to satisfy my innovator, had a lot of fun doing that. But after a while, then I started innovating things for the company that were actually correct, right? Like once you get enough experience in sales, then your innovator can kick in, and I'm sure it will kick in before then. It usually doesn't help people though. The reps that try to innovate and mess with the program first thing rarely do well. So the reps that are just like builder and banker just get so much done that a lot of times like that's the ideal scenario for sales. And if you're an independent contractor, then you're essentially still an entrepreneur. You still have a lot of the benefits of working for yourself and on your own time. So if you're lacking in any of these fields, you might look at some of the other areas of entrepreneurship where you might not need to be the thing that you're lacking in. Otherwise, if you're trying to be a solopreneur, start your own company, start your own product offering and try to improve on it and beat out your competitors, you're gonna need the innovator, you're gonna need the builder, you're gonna need the merchant, you're gonna need the banker. You need all four categories. So take the test. Hopefully you already took it by now, but I'm sure a lot of you still listen to the end. Try to really just answer as truthfully as possible if you're going to start it now, and see what your results are. Feel free to share with them with me on Instagram at socialbamboo with an underscore at the end. I love having conversations. Hey, I got some merchants, my highest one, guys, right? So reach out to me, say what's up. Would absolutely love it. So appreciate you listening, and I hope this was valuable for you. Go crush your entrepreneurship journey. We'll be right back.